Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of the Disability Dish, the podcast at the Disability Services Office at UMass Lowell. I'm Jody Rachins.
I'm Lauren Tornatore.
And we're here to talk to our newest members of our Disability Services Office community. So we're going to have folks go around and introduce themselves, and we love to have people share a little bit about yourself and your connection to the word disability in however you're most comfortable sharing it.
Hello, I'm back. Caleb, my name is Caleb Lauren. I'm one of the peer coaches working with Disability Services. I think the last time I was on the podcast, was I working as a peer coach yet? No, not yet. So I'm on, I'm with the team. My relationship with the word disability is I have generalized anxiety disorder, social phobia, and I also have a chronic pain condition, but who knows what that is yet? it's still in diagnosis. Yeah, so that's me.
And what do you do here?
Oh, I'm a peer coach.
And what do you do here with UMass Lowell?
Oh, you mean as like a student?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm a, I guess I'm technically in my maybe junior year moving into senior. It's a little tough. When you take courses, like sometimes I take three courses, sometimes four courses, it just depends. Yeah, I'm finishing up my degree. I think I have two semesters left coming up. So,
Awesome.
very exciting.
Okay, Evelyn, we saw you had an unmute war going on with Caleb before, so you get seconds.
Sure thing. Hi, my name is Evelyn O'Connor. I am the disability services specialist here at UMass Lowell, and I was doing some counting in my head, and I've been here with the team since May 23, so a year and a half, which seems wild to me. In terms of, disability, what it means for me, I think in various ways, I was surrounded by various aspects of disability for my whole life, whether or not I knew it. And then as I entered college, adulthood, in my undergrad, studied juvenile justice and youth advocacy and psychology, really focusing on more prevention. And not intervention. That was kind of my focus. And I do think that it has always been my belief education is a really great prevention technique or experience. And so, in my after undergrad, I went to graduate school to be a school counselor in the K through 12 system. While I was in that program, I worked in a disability services office at the institution that I was studying at, and that the end is, that's the history. That's how I landed here. One of the things that I really find interesting in this work, especially with advances in just the world and as we learn new things, I'm very interested in medical disabilities and psychological disabilities, how they impact students. And those are typically lifelong, but they sometimes come later on in life, so such as at the college level. So that's kind of how I landed here.
Hello, I'm Fahad Eldon. I currently work as a disability peer coach. I'm in my senior year and I'm studying digital media and theater arts. I think the word, like, the way I connect with disability is it was something I've always kind of like had. And, like, growing up, I was on an IEP. And, like, as I started doing more research and learning more about it and connecting about it, it was like very eye awakening, and doing this job has been a really great experience to kind of help be the compass, and so people learn from my mistakes. So yeah, I'm excited to be here.
I'm having issues with my mute button today. I'm Lauren Tornatore. I'm the Senior Assistant Director here in Disability Services at UMass Lowell. My relationship to the word disability. So this is a question we have to answer every time we have the podcast, and it changes every time. So I would say, I certainly have family members who have disabilities. It has been a part of my career, kind of starting. When I got into research and then into school psychology, kind of the population that I work with, and that's kind of expanded over time in terms of I would say when I initially started like coursework and things like that, it felt very like clinical, like kind of distanced of like understanding what a diagnosis was and then how that might manifest in a person. And it seemed very prescribed, like textbookish. And then, as I've gone through my career and meeting different people and certainly having, other people in my personal life who have a disability, you start seeing that, while a diagnosis can be helpful, it doesn't really narrow it down in terms of that person's lived experience. So, really trying to just understand where people are coming from. A label can certainly help a person understand their world, but it doesn't encompass everything about them. So that's my current today's relationship with the word disability.
I think that kind of brings us into sort of one of the first things we wanted to talk about was sort of just how our own personal definitions or understandings of disability kind of changes over time. And for me, I've shared, and it's interesting that you said, Evelyn, sort of the later diagnoses. So my Crohn's disease and my anxiety disorder both came in adulthood, like in my young 20s. And so they kind of showed up and, became components of my life that I hadn't otherwise sort of tackled. And I'm guessing the anxiety always existed, but I had these like compensatory things, right, that I utilized, and my life was a little bit more predictable, I guess, in a lot of ways. But as we go through the over time, and I'm in the fourth decade of life, we have sort of a full circle thing where taking care of parents who are developing various things that are going on for them, but also, going through from a parent's point of view, the 6-year-old is, newly diagnosed with ADHD, and we've had kind of a rough fall of trying to really figure out a medication regime that really honors his personality and who he is. So that one that doesn't take away and make him sort of too dull and not like the boisterous, funny, sweet kid that he is, but also helps him kind of sit still a little bit in school and those kind of things. And so, we've been fooling around with that. And so having kind of that new version of sort of seeing things in the other way and trying to interlock my passion for in empowering anybody with a disability and empowering my 6-year-old to use the words ADHD and to use the word my brain is different and to speak up and start getting some vocabulary to explain himself and describe himself rather than have conversations behind his back. And so, it's but at like a 6-year-old's capacity for understanding. So it's been a fun kind of journey to try to play through this a little bit. So that's how mine has been kind of definition has been changing. Anyone else want to share like maybe a change definition that a little bit was alluded to already?
I can speak to, like I mentioned before, I think that there were facets of disability my whole life, again, that I may or may not have noticed. But as, I have exposure in the field as I'm getting older, as, just a human being, and, just really starting to understand and also share this with other people of like, this is a facet. Of it's just one facet of someone's life experience. Just like understanding that and realizing that it can happen at any time. And so that's why like I'm so thankful like disability is more it's all encompassing now to address various types of disabilities and people are starting to understand those things. But then just also being able to like, yeah, this is just like a piece of me or a piece of that person. But it's not everything. And so I think that has been really, as I progressed in my career, knowing and understanding that, but then also like new things come up. So it also keeps it interesting. And so getting creative with how to support individuals and getting to know who they are is really important.
Yes, this work is not boring. It's never boring. And I think our peer coaches are starting to learn that too. It's really not.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, Evelyn, you made a good point about learning, like, the disability doesn't necessarily define the person. And that's something I've also learned. Really, my personal definition of disability before, I mean, most of my physical disabilities, even my mental ones, really came into play like 2 years ago, 3 years ago. So this is all very new for me. So all of a sudden, you know, I was dealing with new challenges in my physical life that limited the way I could experience my life around me and mentally as well. And most of that came from, I definitely had like anxiety disorder, depression, things like that beforehand, but I was medicated before and then I came off. So now I have to learn how to manage all of these new things. It's been an interesting journey. I didn't associate myself in that way really until I felt how acute my personal issues were. And then I became, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, this is what this experience is more like. I began to understand more. I began to become more interested. And then I ended up working with disability services. All of a sudden, my world has opened up where I now understand so much more about the word disability that, and really, like Evelyn said, it's especially to someone who doesn't have a disability, sometimes that is all they see. And they treat you as if that is the only thing sort of about you. And part of my personal journey with discovering my own disabilities has been learning how to sort of advocate for myself and tell people I'm more than just my disability. Like, I can still function as a person and have a disability. So that's how my definition has changed a lot.
I feel like mine has changed in terms of like understanding that everyone's disability, like someone could have the same disability, but the way it comes out is different. So like even from like a mental health perspective, like people like will be like, well, it doesn't seem like you have depression. And just because someone may not wear it on their sleeves, we kind of need to be more like compassionate, empathetic, that people process things differently. And people deal with things differently. Like, I know for me, when I was growing up and I would have my learning disability, I really liked to be like in those rooms to be independent and to like advocate for myself. And like, even when people's intentions were positive, like, oh, I want to like, you shouldn't do this, or I don't think you can handle it. It was kind of like, it was harder for me because while some people may want that support and want that guidance, like I'm a different person. So sometimes when I'm meeting with students or I'm like even just like listening to a friend, kind of understanding like everyone handles things differently and everyone's journey and how they present their disability or mental health is different. So that's something I've been like processing and ruminating about this year and thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a good point, Fahad, because I think sometimes, you know, and that's definitely something that has taken me time to learn over time is like sometimes meeting with someone, like, especially if I'm looking at the clock, right? If I only have 30 minutes, maybe the person came a little bit late, I have someone right behind them, or I'm like, all right, I listen to what they're saying, and then I'm like, all right, now I'm gonna like swoop in and fix it, you know, or like, these are the things you need to do, and kind of like having that list or whatever. And although that information can be important, sometimes that's not what the person is wanting from me, you know, like sometimes they're wanting to vent, or maybe I'm saying, you know, oh, well, you need to go to tutoring. And then they're like, well, I don't want to go there, or I'm intimidated by that, or I don't know what to do, you know? So sitting back and truly listening to someone's experience and figuring out what they need from you is an important aspect, I think, in this field. That's definitely taken me time to learn over time. So you're doing well, since you're already, you know, doing it now. But yeah, you know, that's, I can just say from my experience, it's something I've had to shape for sure. Because yeah, it does, you do get, I think, sometimes stuck in like just wanting to kind of help someone without really listening to what it is that they want from you, you know, or the style that they
yeah.
want.
And like, it's hard sometimes to not like make assumptions, because we just take everything at face value. And like, sometimes, like, I know, like last year when I had like really bad depression, people would be like, wow, I would have never guessed it. I would never would have thought about it. So then I think about it now, where I'm like, you know, it's always good to check up on everyone and see, like, you know, and figure out what other people are dealing with, because just because someone may not show it or have it outwardly there, or like, there's been experiences where I've talked to friends who were doing really well academically, and they would get taken off disability support because they're like, well, you're doing well academically, that means you don't have a learning disability. It's like, no, maybe that's helping them and guiding them to get those good grades. It doesn't mean they don't need it. I think sometimes, like, we think too much of like the logical way, where we need to think of the, you know, the other factors. Yeah.
That kind of leads into a little bit of, so part of my question is going to relate to what we're talking about, and a little bit is going to back it up, just because, you know, part of this episode is helping people maybe, you know, meet some more people in our office. So I'm wondering if anybody can speak a little bit to, you know, what made you want to apply to the position that you're in, and then maybe get into how would you describe your style when you're meeting with students, right? And I can go first, because so people have a little bit of time to think. I know for me, I back 9 years ago when I started in this position, I had been a school psychologist for a number of years. And although I really liked that work, I had worked with adult students before at Mount Holyoke College. And I really wanted the chance to be able to work with adult students again. I felt like I had more to learn in this area with adults. And so that was a desire of mine, to kind of get back to higher education and work with people directly. I would say in terms of my style, I definitely, you know, there's definitely pieces of our work that are a little prescribed. But I would say for the most part, I tend to use a lot of like sarcasm and humor with students. I tend to attract students that want to go off on a tangent talking about other things, because I am definitely someone who will follow someone down a path of conversation. Like, I have no problem doing that. So yeah, I think those are kind of the styles, you know, and I would say also, like, I'm not someone who needs a student to like write me an email in a certain way or speak to me in a certain way. I don't mind, again, humor, sarcasm, you know, swearing, as long as it's not at me, you know, doesn't bother me. So I'm not like a very formal person in that way. So I would say that's kind of my style. So
I'm just going to interrupt and only that, like, last week Fahad like medium swore towards me, like not at me, but like in conversation, and then apologized. Yeah. And I was like, that's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, that definitely happened. I mean, and that's, you know, I will say that's one of the reasons, not like, oh, I need to swear at work, but like it is different working with kids in an elementary school versus working with an adult. Like, I felt like I could, have more authentic conversations and, you know, and meet with someone where they're at. And if that means, like, you know, saying, you know, that something sucks or whatever, I want people to feel comfortable that they can do that, that I'm not going to say, like, oh, you can't speak that way around me. Again, as long as you're not hurling it directly at me, then, you know, you can certainly go for it. So, and yeah, I get emails that will be like 5 words long, and then I'm like, oh, okay, and responding to that. So, yeah. But yeah, if anyone else wants to go in terms of why they might have applied and what your style is when you're meeting with people.
Yeah, so I applied. Initially, I applied because I was really interested in pushing my personal boundaries and really trying something that was out of my comfort zone. I wanted to be a part of the UMass Lowell community in some way. I wasn't sure how at the time, but I was struggling with the social phobia, and one of the big things I was personally told in therapy was you have to do that exposure therapy, right? So I was like, all right, exposure therapy. I jumped right for it, and I was on the Disability Services podcast, and now I'm working with the Disability Services office, so I really went all the way. But it's been really fun. I like it a lot. I also like more of an informal vibe. I've had some students call in. I primarily do virtual meetings. So I've had students call in their cars or in bed or whatever. And they can, but that's part of the sort of vibe that I want to cultivate is you can come and you can talk to me and you can tell me anything you need to talk to me about. I'll listen, provide feedback if you want it. I also like to make sure students know, because one of the big problems I've been noticing is some students don't even know how to connect with campus resources, or they're too scared to. So a lot of meetings will just be, hey, you seem interested in connecting with this campus resource. Can I help you get there somehow? Can I help you connect with your professors? So that's really a focus. That's a part of this job that I've really been trying to focus on, because there are a lot of sort of pieces in place to help people with these different things. But for whatever reason, depending on the person, they sometimes just struggle to get there. So I like to focus on helping them get there. And then also consistency, because like I said, I do therapy. For me, consistency with the therapy is key. I think consistency with a lot of things is key. But sometimes just I have a couple students that I meet with regularly, and it's very helpful for them to just remain sort of in the loop and remain, it helps them remain focused on their courses and things like that. So that's how I approach my role.
I might get a little mushy gushy here, but I'm okay with it. As a school counselor, I quickly realized that the population I wanted to work with were young adults or adults coming back to college, you know, whatever age they were. Because it's such an important time, you know, as young adults are growing into full adult humans, and there's a lot of learning and growing. And I like to be a part of that journey with them as that support, because that is so important in our development as human beings. And in terms of my style, I think that I am a naturally curious person. I am more interested in learning about other people, what's going on with them, what's working, what's not, and applying no judgment either way. And I, you know, when I'm talking with a student, as Lauren said, of course we have certain things that we have to do, have to say, whatever. But a lot of times when I'm talking to a student, especially if I'm feeling like they're willing to share, you know, a little bit, you know, I'll kind of say like, oh, I see your online form says this, your documentation says that, but I really want you to take the opportunity, even just 1 minute, to share what you feel like is important or what I need to know. Just so I think it's just a good strategy to show that curious side and let's really figure this out together so that way you can have what you need in order to progress here. And so yeah, I think if I had to assign a word, it would definitely be curious in terms of my style in working with students.
All right, I think for me, I had a pretty interesting kind of start with this. I was in my video production class, and we were assigned to work on doing a promotional vid for the disability services. So I was the producer and director, and I was like interviewing Lauren and Jody. And I think we clicked really well. And as I was transitioning away from doing student government, I wanted to get more involved doing something on campus that I was going to be kind of helping people in a way. Because when I was in student government, I was meeting with a lot of people who did services and did a lot of things, and I really wanted to kind of share it with. And disability services, I just think, is really important that students know about it and get the resources and get the help. And I think as I was like, talking to students in my classes who knew, because I'm open about being registered, because I think we need to remove the stigma, and connecting them like, oh, you should get registered. Here's like what you can do. This is how it went for me. And I saw the job posting. I'm like, oh, this seems right up my alley. I love working with people. And Jordy and Lauren have a good sense of humor, and they seem nice. I always say you don't work for companies, you work for bosses. So then, I applied, and yeah, I would say and I ended up getting the job. And I think I try really hard when I meet with students to kind of like talk to them in a natural way. I think disability is different than other things like getting academic advising, because there is, unfortunately, I don't like it, there is a lot of shame about talking about it. I know when I had my intake meeting, I felt like very vulnerable because it's not something people openly share. And I remember even like growing up, people who were like who had learning disabilities would feel so much shame around it because you were taken into pull-out classes and people would make comments. So I think like when a student knows that I'm registered and I'm meeting with them and they're sharing their experience, I feel like it's nice because I get to see them feel comfortable and at ease. So I really try to like, have those conversations, share my experiences, and then also like kind of get to know them, because some of the students I've met are really cool. I'm like, I would be your friend. Like, let's get coffee. So yeah, I think it's so funny because I feel like they teach me so much and help me grow from what they share. So yeah, I would say that's how I do it.
I'm sort of loving this like collective definition of the helping profession in general because like it's been so interesting, for you all to hear how you kind of came to your own way of, probably everyone who felt like they wanted to help people felt like it was going to be really, really action oriented and we were going to like, bring our capes and fly in and save the day. And, it's a lot more complex than that. And, to help somebody, sometimes you just have to sit with them and with their stuff and you have to hold on to their stuff. Sometimes you're holding your own stuff at the same time they're holding their stuff. Sometimes you're holding opposite stuff from them. All those different things. And so kind of it's a complicated thing. So as I feel like anytime I would tell people this is work I do, they go, oh, that must be so rewarding. And I'm like, I mean, at times, yeah, sure it is. Like those ones that we see walk across the stage at graduation, finally, but it's hard a lot of the time, right?
Or they think it's sad, right? Like, oh,
Oh,
there's a
or
lot
good
of like,
for them
oh,
for trying
yeah.
college, and those kind of things. And so, like, I'm curious how, folks in this conversation have sort of learned to kind of, I don't know, care for themselves in these kind of times, or use resources when they're when you're feeling stuck or recognizing that something is kind of going beyond where you're at or what you can do? Kind of open question.
I really appreciate what you just said, Jody. There's a lot of like life happening in our profession. And sometimes it's beautiful, other times it's really, really hard. And so you're kind of side by side these individuals that are, I always say life is not linear. And it isn't, and that can be a hard thing as individuals are navigating that. But for me, I think my coping strategies, if you will, especially when you're working with other people, is being able to, in some way or ways, coming back to yourself. And so I don't know if everyone on the podcast knows this, but I do have my yoga certification. And so there are certain grounding postures that I'll do. And that's actually been within the last couple of years. I'm like, ooh, there's these two things that can be really, really helpful for me. Also, sunlight and the outdoors does a lot for the mind. And when I talk to students and they're in the library for 8 hours, I'm like, ah, please get outside. Please breathe some fresh air. So yeah, there's things we can do, right? So like grounding yoga postures, sunlight, outdoors. But I think there's also two other things. Sometimes we just have to accept where we're at. And I think that's applicable to everybody, students, professionals, whatever. And just sit with that. But also therapy. I do see a therapist. I've had a great therapist for 2 years now. And let me tell you find a good therapist relationship, and it can make all the difference in navigating those things. In times that are challenging, or if there's whether it's in your work life or personal life, just having that person on your side, but also willing to kind of like push you a little bit, that can be really, really helpful. But I just would also want to share with everybody, this takes time to figure out what's going to be most helpful to you, and just allow yourself that time.
Yeah, so there's been a bunch of different I've also been struggling with sort of that we've talked about sort of in our meetings from time to time, learning those different that I'm new to a helping profession like this. I did teach martial arts for a couple of years, but that's very different. It's very different because here, Evelyn, like you said, like life is happening. You're really connecting with all of these different students within their personal lives. So for me, what's helped me is I'd agree, being outside. I try to get outside every day, especially as I'm an online peer coach. So I spend most of my time at the computer and doing things sitting down. So getting up and moving around, especially because I have a pain conditions as well. So sometimes I try to keep consistent going outside. Getting a shower, just eating some food, taking care of basic needs is how I decompress. So when I'm really stressed about things, be it work or whatever I'm sitting with, I find the task of caring for myself very grounding. And it's very rewarding, which are both important things for keeping your mental state, controlled, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, but more calm, maybe. And also learning how to, I really liked what you said about learning to sit with whatever you have. I know I've struggled with depression throughout my life, and I would get anxiety around my depression. Because I'd be like, oh, why am I feeling this way? I shouldn't be feeling this way. And I'm very thankful that I started to learn that skill even before I came into the role of just, you just sit with that. It's okay to feel uncomfortable or to feel sad or whatever you need to feel. It's okay to feel it. So those things together help me a lot. And then journaling as well is something I do therapy consistently. That's what my therapist recommended. And it's just so helpful to be able to reflect on every day, to list out all of the things that are piling up on your plate. I'm a firm believer that if you have too much on your plate, everyone can get too much on your plate. You need to figure out a way to either take things off and put them in a little box somewhere and leave them there. So that's how I deal with not just work, but just life in general and the stress and things that come with that.
I think for me, I kind of like live by this motto, which sometimes it gets me in trouble of like, you don't regret the things you did, you regret the things you didn't do. So, yeah, it does get me in trouble. But, and most of the time it's good because I try to do one thing a week or, a month when I'm like pretty busy that challenges me, or that I will find fun. So I'll go like axe throwing with my friends or I'll go to a spy museum and try to do a maze, and then I'll get like 30th place. But it will be something that gets me outside my comfort zone. And I know for me, because I do a lot of things, I have a routine. And when I get too much in a routine, it's not good for my mindset and it's not good for my mental health. And for me being the best worker that I am, I need to do something creative. So I will try to be like, all right, let me go to this different type of cafe, or let me watch this movie, or let me do this. I think it's good. That's why I love also like doing day trips, because it's like when your brain is doing new experiences or talking to new people, or like I recently got a YMCA membership and I'm talking to people in their 50s about like what's going on in the world. I think for me, that's really good because. When you are like working and talking and doing a job where you have to bring yourself, you want to bring your best self. And I feel like when I'm energized by doing different things, it's important. So yeah, that's how I kind of do my self-care is I throw myself into different situations.
I think you raised such a good point, Fahad, too. All of you did different pieces of it, but sort of noticing signs of when you need to shift something and
Yeah.
however that means. So for some people, they may be very kind of unorganized and notice a sign that they need to get more organized. They need to write something down. Fahad, you recognize that you need to bring back in the creativity. And so, I think that that is like everybody is going to have sort of different signs or different triggers. Like for me, it's like I have extremely thick skin and there's a lot that can wash over me. But if I start to kind of take something that really isn't personal about me, but like seems, if I start to feel like it's personal or I start to lose like some greater perspective, empathy, even in a really complicated situation, that's my sign that I need to take a step back. And I remind myself too that as essential as this work is, like we are an essential personnel. And so if we're not caring for ourselves and figuring out what that is to take a step back, then we're not going to be able to care for others too. So it's kind of a both and situation. And we're also modeling this for other people, right? And so for me, I will have days where I'm like, I am feeling awfully sensitive today. Like the things are just getting to me. I think I need to like figure out how to step out of this and clear my head. And it took me a long time to figure that piece out too. So for me, self-care can be that. It's talking with people who, I probably wouldn't survive without like some good sarcastic venting with some people, because if we didn't find ways to laugh, we would cry all the time, and crying is fine, but all the time is not probably fine. And so, so finding humor, or luckily Lauren's door is like adjacent to mine, so we can just talk about
Dangerous for the both of us.
and we can just we'll just talk about food for like hours,
Yeah.
and that just resets everything usually. So or movies or TV or whatever, and just shake it off because sometimes we really do. So it's good to have good people, and it's good to have silence too, like, or just be with yourself. Like my drive home or my drive to work is my time. I don't like to talk on the phone to people. I like to listen to my audiobooks and just get my own time, my own head, and I'm pretty protective of that. Like if I do have to call someone, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it today, but this isn't gonna become a habit. because it actually isn't, that doesn't fill my bucket, so to talk on the phone in my car ride, and my bucket is like to just sit back and listen to something. Yeah.
We're kind of flying through a lot of potential topics that we were going to have for our conversation today because everybody has such like layered and nuanced answers, which is a good thing. And probably in the interest of time, a really good thing. As we're recording this, we are butting up against finals. We're right at the end of the semester, right? Which I know is a stressful time of year. And there's lots of things to kind of still dive into that. Can be difficult. But I want to switch gears a little bit and ask people to share about something that you're proud of from this semester. What's something that you feel like you can reflect back on? I've heard sprinkles of things I would suggest as answers for people. But what are some things when you look back on this semester that you feel like you can say were successful or made you feel proud of yourself?
I mean, I'd say for me, the biggest one, well, of course, classes. I'm very proud that I was able to do classes. This is, I think last semester I had to drop down to two classes because all of the medical things were just too much. So I'm finally back up to more classes. I think I did three finishing up. And that was a big deal for me, being able to do that. And then moving into four classes and then maybe summer classes next semester. But the biggest one is definitely pushing my own personal boundaries with social experiences. I found that my social phobia was really hindering my personal life. Like in a major way. I couldn't go out to grocery stores without being terrified. I couldn't go to the movies and watch movies. I couldn't hang out with people, and it was really crippling my social life really bad. And so I took a little bit more of an aggressive stance with it over this past year and really just attacked it, forced myself into those uncomfortable situations. And I'm noticing less of that fear now. I can go out to the grocery store. I can go out to the movies. I've been doing all sorts of new social events with new different people. I've been working on this job where I meet new people all the time and I'm with large groups of people all the time. I could never have done this podcast a year ago. This would have terrified me. So it's a huge deal. I'm extremely proud of myself for pushing that boundary, and that has been a major victory for me this semester.
I think for me, being able to like do what is authentic to me, because I think for the longest time, I was doing extracurriculars where there'd be just, I would always find myself like comparing myself to other people and being like, oh, I wish I was so eloquent and put together, and I would try to be that way. And then I think this year I realized like I'm never gonna be that person. Like I'm funny and I'm sarcastic and I'm not gonna be polished. And instead of trying to fight that and change who I am and lose sight of who I am, I'm gonna be who I am and do things that are authentic to me. So I really like learned to say no to things. I think I was telling my advisor, I was like, this was the year of no, and like not adding more onto my plate than is needed. Like, I've worked since I was like, I think my first job was when I was 15, and I haven't really stopped since. So I think this year was about like finding that balance and realizing, yes, I've had to work hard for a large part of my life, but now I can just focus on things that I can bring change and that I'm passionate about, and takes a moment to actually, have fun and take those deep breaths and like explore different parts of myself. So I think that's what the semester has kind of been about. And
I'm going to be a little vulnerable here, but I won't take up too much time because I don't want to be too vulnerable for too long. But I would say this isn't even a semester in the weekend in the works. This is like honestly like a year in the works for me. And I'm not just saying it because they're here, but just having Jody's like Jody, you had mentioned, I have pretty like tough skin, and so Jody, the way you carry yourself professionally, Lauren, the way you carry yourself professionally, I would say, in years past, personally and professionally, I would be that person just like taking things personally, but in a way of like, need to solve the problem. This is, what did I contribute to, and really just being able to kind of remove that ownership from myself has really been like really liberating. And also it just, serves as a better example to students when you're talking with them. And so I think this is the first semester that I have felt, much better in terms of like, I don't need to take everything on. I don't need to save the world. And also, if I am doing those things, it's really taking a lot of autonomy from other people. And that has really been really loud for me as well. Still working on the taking personally, but it's much better than it ever has been. And, Jody and Lauren are two people that I can, credit. Parts of that too.
Lauren, how much did we tell Evelyn that we were going to pay her for saying things like that? Was it like
I mean, we have a
$10?
huge budget in disability services, as everyone knows. It's the most lucrative field to be in. So yeah, it's an undisclosed high amount.
super high money. That's what we're in it for. Thank you, though. I'm really proud of getting this peer coaching thing off the ground, to be perfectly honest. I mean, this is just like a little bit of a love fest right now, but like I am. It's been sort of in my head for a while and in the workings, and there were lots of different things I was waiting to kind of happen. And it's like we physically need a new space, and that's just like it hasn't happened yet. And I was sort of waiting on that, and I was like, I'm sick of waiting. Let's just figure this out and make it work. And I'm really excited. And it's funny, my boss says something like, it must also be really nice for you just to like talk with students about like good things too sometimes. Like you're working with the peer coaches and like having a positive relationship, because sometimes you're just doing really hard stuff with the students that you're seeing. And I'm like, you're right. It is. It's like really positive work. And the part where I joke that it's, my work isn't that rewarding, like this part is pretty rewarding and has been really fun to kind of get comfortable with the both of you, and having the both of you sort of help me figure out this role, like coming from my brain to fruition. And it's still a total work in progress, but it's been such a fun ride. So I'm proud we're doing it. Just doing it.
I know we're running up on time, so we'll get to the last part, maybe, Jody. Did you want to ask the question?
Yeah, I just thought you might want to share what you're proud of this year.
Oh my gosh. Well, the thing I'm probably going to be proud of is still in the works because I'm coming up on possibly, finally, after months and months, working on a presentation with a few amazing professors who have worked flexibility into their curriculum. And we're looking to share that with, you know, tips and things like that with the larger community. So we are almost at the point of scheduling it so I can say that it's real. So yes, that I'm proud of it once we're almost there. We're again, it kind of like what you were saying, like to have positive conversations with people is a nice thing about things that people are doing great. Instead of sometimes our conversations are more like I'm really struggling and I don't know what to do. So so yeah, that's been a fun experience for sure.
Okay, so we always kind of wrap up our conversation with if there's anything that people want to kind of say that they're going to kind of ponder over after this conversation or take away. I'd also love to hear from everybody something kind of fun that they're, you know, planning to do to take care of themselves over the break, however, whatever capacity their break is going to look like. So for me, I continue to take away and feel assured that, you know, there's this concept I'm sort of really into this semester, this anti-fragility thing, and hearing from you all pushing yourselves out of your comfort zone is working. And so like not letting us get absorbed by things that don't feel very good and don't feel very comfortable. And they may not always be perfect is something that I'm just going to keep holding with me. And over the break, gosh, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say I'll get more sleep, but I have little kids, so that's like not fair. So I don't know. I think we love making fires in our fireplace and just kind of sitting around. And my husband and I've gotten more into puzzling again lately, which is like such a goofy thing, but it takes my phone out of my hands when in the evenings. And so, you know, it's just fun to look forward to that. So.
I would definitely echo what Jody was saying. And I'm really, you know, everyone on this call is younger than Jody and I, cause her and I are the same age. So, I would say it's like the thing I'll take away with me is like the interest in that everyone has in terms of pushing yourself out of your comfort zone or trying something new. You know, I think especially as you get older, it's harder to do that, or you do it in one avenue of your life, right? So like I'm comfortable doing that, like trying new restaurants and things like that, because I love food, but I might not be doing that in other aspects of my life that I could be. And so that to me is something that I definitely want to take away from this conversation, is just a lesson of like, you know, it doesn't, you know, you can push yourself to do something uncomfortable, but also in areas where maybe you don't feel like you might shine, you know, because I feel like as I've gotten older, I'm usually pushing myself in ways that I know I'm probably going to be successful. So I think that that's like a good lesson. In terms of fun over break, well, I have lots of food ahead of me. I have a big family and everybody cooks a million things. I've had a text message chain going on since last night about like our, you know, family extended thing and what everybody's making and all that stuff. So I know that there's food in my future. I'm hoping though that I can see Wicked because I would like to see it. And I've heard good things and I just need to carve out the 2.5 hours to go see it. So I'm really hoping that that happens.
Worth it.
Yeah.
So I think my takeaway, I don't even know if I can put this into words, but it's just so nice to be able to sit and talk with people about, you know, sometimes this work, it's really hard. And it's really like people are navigating some really challenging things. And of course, certain things, certain disabilities, conditions, they wax and wane, right? So sometimes when we're meeting with someone, sometimes they're at their like lowest point, and they're just trying to figure out how to get through. So having a conversation more like this is just, for me, just so rewarding because we are showing up as the human beings that we are. and not the procedure that we have to follow. And then in terms of, so my, you know, in terms of how I'm going to take care of myself over a break, it's really funny because my comfort zone, getting out of it is being more, with myself. So slowing down the go, 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 do, 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 that is not something I'm super comfortable with. And that's something I've been working on a little bit, for a little while. But a couple of the things that I'm looking forward to, I have a stack of books that I have reserved for when a break. I've gotten into a really good, rhythm recently. So I'm excited to kind of, you know, continue with that. And I keep, you know, in terms of like the new year resolutions, word of the year, whatever, I'm not sure what this means for me yet, but I really I feel compelled, or called to the word pace. And I, you know, pace, P-A-C-E. And I really think that that kind of encompasses how I'm feeling right now, like slowing down, taking advantage of what winter has to offer in terms of coming back to yourself. So while it's not, oh, I'm going to go do all these fun things, it's learning to be, you know, calm, quiet, and enjoy that time and not be worried about the to-do list.
I think like a big takeaway I've learned was I did relate to what Evelyn was saying earlier on about like wanting to kind of save and do everything and realizing you kind of need to let other people kind of figure out on their own. And that's something I've, you know, doing this job and just growing up is like, okay, you know, you can show people the map, but you cannot be the one to take them on that journey. That has to be within them. So I try to put that in the back of my head. And just even in interpersonal stuff where I'm like, I feel like, oh, the martyr kicks in because no one likes it. I'm like, oh no, I sound like a martyr. No one likes that. So I'm like, okay, let's let it go. Let's not pretend this is that, you know, life or death. So I try to keep that in the back of my mind. And then during winter break, I think it's nice to catch up from my friends from, you know, high school and people around the community. Because I used to work in the childcare stuff, so I just see parents or like kids, and sometimes it's cool because they're like, oh, you go to Starbucks too? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And sometimes it's bad because I did not do my hair that morning, but that will be fun. And I'm also planning on like substituting. So that will be cool at the middle school. And those kids are hilarious. Like, I always come back home laughing because I'm like, whoa. That was an interesting day. So I'm excited to do that and, you know, catch up on some reading and doing some walking and pumpkin carving, you know, pumpkin carving. I don't know what I'm saying.
No man building.
I think I meant to say snowman building. But yeah.
Yeah. What I took away from this podcast meeting, I mean, is such a wealth of experience here and so many things to learn about this profession and about all of your individual stories. It's just been so the part of how this experience working this job is rewarding is because you get such a range of perspectives and experiences. I don't know if I mentioned it, but my degree is international business. And part of what I love about that degree is you get all of this diversity and all of these different perspectives, and you get to see the world as a whole and not fragmented pieces. And part of what I love about being part of this community and doing meetings like this is you get that more full, whole perspective of everything. So that's what I really took away from this, a little bits and pieces from everybody. Over break, I mean, Jody was talking about puzzles and taking your eyes off the screen. I mean, I'm huge into board games. I love board games. So that's going to be a major, we have a huge backlog, because once you tell people you love board games, they just get you board games for Christmas. That's like all you get, so then you get a ton of them. So we're gonna play through a bunch of those. And I look forward to seeing, I have some friends flying out from across the country to come see, and I have family members that are in different states. So just really getting everyone together and getting to see everyone is really nice.
And that concludes our December conversation. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for
Thanks, everyone.
being among us. I'm so happy to see you all and have this conversation.